This is episode 15 of Don't Be a Scrub podcast. My name is Sparta Carnage, aka Verbose Mute on Xbox Live. My interviewing partner is Mutton, aka MuttonHead01 on Xbox Live and PSN. So unless you've been sleeping under a rock for the past fortnight and you actually missed Shadaloo Showdown 2, you missed one of Australia's largest fighting game tournaments ever to be held. A jam-packed 2 days of fighting game action with such names as Takedo, Margo, Gamer B, Umezono, MOV, Deshiken, RF, Micross, Gutex, and a whole bunch of other international players, Chocoblanca, Momochi, Kindevu, Urio, just names which have been synonymous throughout the fighting game world, were in Melbourne for Shadaloo Showdown 2. And if you didn't happen to be in Melbourne for the week, I'm hoping that you actually caught the stream, which shattered last year's streaming numbers. We had over 13,000 people tune in over the 2 days, which is fantastic because personally I was a little bit worried that with East Coast Throwdown 3 being on, I thought that Spooky would actually scoop most of the numbers, but it's really great to see the international community also stepping up and showing their support for an event like Shadaloo. So I'd like to give a huge shout out to the Shadaloo guys for sitting down and organizing the events. Everybody who helped out on the day and during the entire week while the guests were down in Melbourne. People who drove, people who made the guests comfortable, and basically everyone who was involved in the project. I think you all deserve a huge pat on the back and a great thank you. Sure, there were some minor drawbacks. The reason the majority of those minor drawbacks happened was because there was such a huge turnout to the actual event. I mean, the Shadaloo guys were looking at about 160 entrants for Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, and they got 256, which is almost 100 more people. I believe, as I said it during the week, that almost every Xbox Live player and their mother decided to show up. The event was absolutely packed and a huge success. And once again, congratulations to everybody involved. This has actually put Australia on the map when it comes to fighting games to show that we are actually serious at what we're doing and that we can actually host something which is basically equivalent to a US major event. So coming off Shadaloo as a positive note, unfortunately I have some bad news, and that is that this is going to be one of the last episodes of Don't Be a Scrub podcast for the time being. This is due to my real world life, believe it or not, I actually have one, catching up with me and certain responsibilities at work coming up. So I will be taking a short hiatus from the Melbourne fighting game community, which also means that the podcast is going to be going on hiatus for a little while. Before we go, I am still scheduled to go to Evo this year, and I will be trying to do as many interviews with some of the world's best Street Fighter players while I'm over there. Unfortunately, Mutton can't join me on this trip, but the chief stream team leader, Bugsimus, is joining me, so hopefully we'll be able to get some great audio for you guys so once we come back. As well as I have also created a Twitter account, which I will be trying to post live updates as I'm following people at Evo. And my Twitter account is twitter.com/verbosemute. That is verbose as in verbosemute, one word. Please follow me if you wish to find out what is going to be happening. So to finally end this long-winded intro, this interview was conducted on the last day before Micross and Gutex flew out. It was done quite late, and I believe that both Micross and Gutex were actually coming down with something, so there is a fair bit of sniffling in the audio. But besides that, I think the interview went quite well. This interview, both Martin and I were looking forward to it ever since they were announced. Actually, we were planning on doing a Skype interview with them even before they were ever announced for Shadaloo Showdown 2, but we held off on it because once when they did get announced, we just said, well, we're just going to wait for them to come down and do it in person. And we hope you enjoyed the interview.
This is Excessum from The X Report and Shadaloo.com. Keep listening to Being a...
You're listening to Don't Be a Scrub podcast.
All right, cut it out. You're listening to Don't Be a Scrub podcast.
Stay hungry, stay salty.
Stay hungry, stay salty. And continue listening.
It's going to be a lot of editing work.
Yeah!
Okay, welcome everyone. Today we are in the CQ Hotel. It's Shadaloo Showdown, God knows what day, but it's basically near the end of the event. And we have two very special guests with us today, all the way from the other side of the world. Many people, definitely the people who follow the fighting game community have heard of these two. And it's Mike Ross and Gutex.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having us.
What's up, guys?
Oh, thank you for coming down.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
All right, we'll just get right into it because we need to sleep. So
it's quite late, yeah.
So who came up with the idea of CrossCon?
That would be the man known as Gutex.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to run into Machinima. Mm-hmm. Basically, walked right into their offices by mistake. Not by mistake, but by fate, as it were. And they spotted us and were like, hey, you want to do some Super Street Fighter 4 videos? This was before Super came out in April of 2010. Mm. We were like, yeah, sure, that sounds amazing. So we did some videos for them, and over the course of the next several weeks, they realized, hey, these guys actually know what they're doing.
And for some reason, people are actually watching these videos.
Can't quite figure out why.
Yeah, so maybe if we bring them on board, they might want to work with us.
Right.
Yeah.
So they said, hey, Gutex. Come up with something.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, Mike, you want to do the show? Which was what we had in mind in the get-go. They didn't know that. We performed Inception on them.
That is correct.
And planted the idea in their minds to give us our own show. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it came about.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Awesome.
Because I actually remember seeing those videos, the Machinima ones, where you guys, like, I think you were playing DJ.
DJ and T-Hawk.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It's like, DJ, I'm going to main DJ in this
game. That was a lie.
Is that true? Do you, like, you know, play, like, your these characters just like, as a lie, just to get raise the hopes of people?
Oh, no.
DJ's playable.
No, like, I mean, you got to keep in mind, that was, like, day one. That was literally day one. That was day
that
negative.
Was,
day
that was,
one.
Yeah.
You know, and DJ seemed like a viable character, but lo and behold, we found out later he was a horrible character.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I've been saying that since day one.
Yeah, so.
All right.
So
Mike Ross, what is a Gutex?
What is a Gutex?
Is it a G-spot?
I wish we were doing video. You should see the look of expression on Gutex's face.
I have not heard that one.
You know, there are so many Gutex walking around nowadays. I almost lost track to find out what the definition of a real Gutex is anymore.
All right. So what's your definition of a Gutex?
My definition is a person of great character, charisma, integrity,
brute strength.
I'm just waiting for that.
And a touch of, you know, attached to his inner child. Anybody who can maintain those characteristics, I think, is closest to becoming a Gutex.
A Gutex. That is the best answer
I've
ever
heard.
Yeah. Gutex, when I played casuals with you back in Ali's house, I noticed that you were so serious. You had this look of focus on your face. You almost seemed like a different person. And then when I stuck out my hand to shake your hand, like you took like 3 seconds to realize it was my hand, and then you gave me a great handshake. But it really seems that when you play Street Fighter, you go to this different zone. Where are you in your mind when you play Street Fighter?
I'm in the game.
In the game. You're in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you guys think it's a 2D game, but when he's playing his actual 3D surround things going on, when he's at the lava stage, he's afraid he might get burned.
That's right. When I'm at the lava stage, I think about episode 3 of Star Wars. Think about how I was the chosen one. But when I play, it's serious business. You know, down here, one of the things that I've picked up since I've been here is the idea of playing a social character, which we would call in the States, your secondary or third character or whatever. This is a foreign concept to me.
You only play your main all the time.
No, it's not that I only play my main all the time. It's that, like, I'm playing to win every single time. Like, it's not, this is not fun. I mean, it's fun to an extent, but, like, It's basically always serious business.
It's business. It's not a game.
Especially when I watch other people play and they're like laughing and talking. Like when I play, I never really have that feeling, and I'm not like making jokes like Mike does. You watch Mike play, and Mike is like having fun, making a conversation. But I don't know how to do any of that.
But he still has his zone. Like he'll be laughing and joking, but when shit gets real,
he goes in his
zone. But it's just that he can transition, and like seems like you're always in there.
I don't have any of that. Yeah. I don't know how to do any of that.
No social.
I got no social
characters.
I used to play Third Strike.
Yeah.
Serious business, 24/7.
All right. Fair enough. At CCH, I noticed that you would switch your tracks in between rounds, right? Your music track.
Oh, it's not that I switch my tracks. I just play the same one over and over.
Oh, so what is that?
Eye of the Tiger. Okay, that was lame. I'm sorry.
Lately, it's been Debrezed by Daft Punk.
Okay.
Actually, so speaking of serious business, I just recently rewatched I Got Next. And at the end of that, you were talking about, you want Street Fighter was your current sort of job, So are you still having fun playing Street Fighter and what you're currently doing?
There's a lot of fun involved. Most of the fun involved comes, when me and Mike are working on stuff or when we're chilling out and plotting figuring out what the next plan of attacks are. That's what I find fun. I mean, playing the game is fun, I guess, but...
I can tell you that the fun for you struck back once AE came out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, for some reason, AE, when it first came out, I was playing in the arcade. Like, I was just winning more with Rose, not because Rose is any better, and not because I'd been in the lab practicing, just because for some reason, like... I was able to win more just doing what I was doing before. But now, it's fun. Playing is fun. I might be picking up some new characters or something, so that's fun, I guess. But most of the fun comes from staying ahead of everyone else and figuring out the next things that we're going to be doing because that's what I think about. Like, some people think about, frame traps and, counters and... setups and shit like that. I never think about any of that stuff. All I think about is all that stuff, but in real life. All
right.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Plus, in I Got Next, you said that you don't want to do 9 to 5. You want to make this
your 9 to 5.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, clocking in is not something
you want to do
that I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of building a business.
And right now, you guys just got sponsored by Complexity, and you're in all the way across the world in Australia. I mean, do you think you've accomplished your goal, or you're halfway there?
I mean, halfway. Like, I don't even think we're even
We're halfway. We're fucked.
We're halfway there, I'm gonna kill myself right now. Yeah.
If we're like a tenth of the way, then
you're good.
So you feel like
if we're like a
honestly, what I see the potential of us doing, this is the smallest fraction, in the step forward. I mean, we've been doing this since 2008. Hopefully, and I think, and me and Ryan, I can honestly tell that we linked up because we communicated on the same wavelength, with only knowing each other for couple weeks. Right?
It's true.
It's true. It's like we saw our visions, were very similar. And I don't see why we can't continue doing this stuff until
you're old.
My face collapsed on the next contract I was about to sign, and that's it. Like, that's where they're gonna have to arrange the funeral right after that, So we're not halfway there.
So what do you see in the future? Put on your Nostradamus. What is the future?
Nostradamus, huh?
Oh, I can't say everything. Not because I don't see it, but just because I don't want anybody else to get the ideas right
now.
But what I will say is that, we're, as long as the community permits, we're going to keep going. As long as opportunity is there, we're going to keep going with it. But all we can do is do everything in our power to make sure that things keep growing. You know, there's no reason to go back, move backwards. We're only going to keep moving forward until we've reached the end of the road.
Yeah.
That's why you guys are awake right now. It's past midnight doing 20 minutes interview with...
Yeah, with two unknowns from Australia.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, our goal is growth. You know, growth as people, growth professionally, growth financially. I mean, that's the way... That's the goal. So, I mean, as long as people like what we're doing, and I don't even necessarily mean like us playing, because that is, you know, I mean, we could wake up tomorrow and be like, this is not the business anymore. But what we have is not, I don't really think it's dependent on us physically playing the game. So, I mean, as long as we can continue to come up with cool ideas that we like, and execute them with the resources that we have, which continue to grow, I mean, all the time, then you know, we're just going to keep on going.
So what is a typical day in the life of a Gutex and Mike Ross? Wake up, what do you guys do? You go right to the studio, or what do you guys do?
It's better to not know that answer.
Yeah.
It's really better to not know that answer.
You know, I wake up every morning and wonder...
No, you've already said too much. You've already said way too much.
You're right.
You've already said way too much.
You don't want to hear that.
Nah, you guys are just, you know...
So you'll break the myth, the shallow myth, the illusion.
That's right.
That you guys wake up, you know, like in a hotel room with a girl on your left.
Yeah, the Rolls Royce is parked outside.
That's exactly what happens every day we wake up.
We wake up.
Yeah, because we don't wake up, look in the cabinet for some Fruit Loops or whatever cereal you'll...
No, that's delivered straight.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. No, day in life is exactly what you think it is.
Okay.
You should see the look they just gave me.
Yeah. We should have done this as a video, man. Nah, I was thinking about this, and you know, Michael Jordan was the face of NBA for quite a while. You know, and you had Pele was the face of soccer. I mean, you two sort of remind me as a sort of a face to the fighting game community. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean,
honestly,
you didn't hesitate at all to answer that.
Well, it's like this, and this is giving away a huge secret. If we are the faces, which I think we are, and a lot of people would disagree, but those people are just the ones that don't pay attention. The reason that is because regardless of the fact of how we place in tournaments, even though Mike has been doing very well for himself, none of that shit matters. Because what matters is that we show up several times a week in people's email inboxes, on their YouTube subscription homepages, on Facebook, on Twitter. So we're constantly in people's heads all the time. Everybody else that I can think of, no matter how great of a player they are, only shows up maybe once a month on a stream. Yeah. Therefore, they are not in people's heads all the time like we are. Therefore, they are not the faces of Street Fighter.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's a good thing is to...
Mike's giving me a look. Like, you don't like that one.
No, but...
No?
But it's true, though, because...
It's true, man. We agree.
Because I spend the majority of my lunch hours either waiting or viewing like Marvelous Adventures. You know, it's something like it's really hard to describe, because it's when I go to certain, you know, the information fighting game websites, and I find, you know, that your show is on, the immediate thing is that now I have something to do over lunchtime.
Good. That's what we aim for.
Yeah.
We're trying to fill up people's lunch breaks. I wish we had a counter for the amount of man hours that have been wasted at people's jobs watching our stuff.
Yeah. I mean, any minute now, you know, with this plan that Gutex just mentioned, you guys should be able to purchase your Gutex condoms at your local store. Looking forward to using it. No, he wants to be on your mind all day long.
Finally, I can hear the Gutex.
Gutex will be literally getting in that ass.
Awesome. Mike, in a casual chat you had Spider, you were saying that you don't actually like people who come up to you and say they're fans of yours. You want to be respected more as a player rather than, you know, like...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that. But, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, to my face or online, like, hey, Mike, I'm a big fan. And, like, whenever I hear that, it doesn't make sense to me because I don't believe it. Like, I think they might even be a little bit confused by it because that's not me. Like, that's not who I am. Mm. I'm not a person of status or caliber to have fans. Mm. You know, that belongs to nowadays Lady Gaga. She has fans. You know, no, like, seriously.
Yeah.
What I think these people are, what I think are getting something mixed up is that may respect the way I play the game. You know, because when I got into it, I respected Viscant, you know, as a Marvel player, Duck Doe, Shady K, all these dudes. Like, I looked up to them as players. I never considered myself a fan of them. You know, I just realized that they are gods of Marvel, you know, and I liked everything about it. But at the same time, I wanted to make sure that I get myself on a level to body these dudes. You know, I didn't want to be just some low rate player. And I think, you know, these people that come up to me and tell me the same thing, I get a feeling that that's the same mind state they have. But I don't know where the word fan derived from for Street Fighter. I don't think that's the right word to use.
The same way with you, Gutex.
Once there's enough people paying attention to something, then it's definitely, you have that fan mentality. The other thing that you could consider is that, well, what we do is basically, I mean, for lack of a better word, TV.
Well, the future of TV.
Even though it's on the internet and it's produced by us. But, I mean, it's basically the same idea. You sit down, you watch two guys chit-chat for a while. I mean, I don't know. When people tell me they're fans, I'm flattered. I say thank you. I don't really care about, like, any of that stuff. I'm like, well, whatever. Like, we worked hard. We've been doing this for a long time. If we make you laugh on a consistent basis, then, like, well, I could see why one would say that. I mean,
okay.
If I, you know, I definitely can think of several duos that make all forms of entertainment. And if I saw them, I would definitely consider myself fans. I would consider myself a fan of theirs. So,
who has the best uppercut in Melbourne?
Ooh,
Melbourne being the home of uppercuts.
I mean, yeah, you know, I discovered this only through the mirror match because I didn't believe that his uppercuts were that good. Yeah. Would have to belong to Carnage. He's got the definitely has the best uppercuts.
The Cammy
guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the best uppercuts hands down. That's a given.
Yeah. Toxie's also got pretty good uppercuts.
He's got some pretty good uppercuts.
But he hasn't got the 50-50 game. The comedy.
The comedy factor.
Right.
Yeah. So, Gutex, you know, whenever these guys talk about my missus, you have this look of utter disgust on your face. What? My girlfriend.
Oh, your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have this look of utter disgust on your face.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is right now. So, so what is your advice for Street Fighter players and, you know, their girlfriends?
Well, I guess
is
you
there
have
something
to set
I'm
up,
missing?
Yeah, you got to set up.
Yeah.
You got to set up your...
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here clueless. Please, somebody tell me what's going on.
Basically, you know, I live with my girlfriend and she thinks that Street Fighter, all Street Fighter, everything related to Street Fighter should be a bun in hell. Yeah.
So what does that mean in terms of what she tells you to do?
Basically, the more Street Fighter I do, the unhappier she gets.
So what does that mean when you're hanging out playing Street Fighter at the Shadowloop compound?
It means that the amount of you know, how much she puts out is decreased proportionally by the amount of time spent on this.
Here's the graph.
Yeah, the graph, you know.
So,
so it's been a week here, right? So my birthday is coming out in a few months' time. So maybe.
Can you imagine that?
Are you going to play this for her?
No, she doesn't even know that we do this.
Away from the prying eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you imagine the graph for that? The top left is hours played, zero at the top, and the bottom is ass. That's a straight declining graph. Yeah. Alright, I'm sorry about
that. That's funny, that's reality.
That's what's funny about it.
I'm not laughing at your misfortune. I'm sorry, dude.
It's alright. So, yeah.
Well,
I don't want to. I'm not going to answer that. All I'm going to say is this. Actually, I will answer. I'll say, you know, I guess one creates their own happiness.
Or hell.
Or hell.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
I created my own hell a long time ago, and I realized.
Would you like to elaborate?
Oh gosh! And you know, Gutex, of course, was the one that warned me about it, and I just whatever. You know,
that's right. We could have been having this interview, but
we could have been having this interview 2 years, like a year, prior, 2 years ago. But I decided to test my chances with hell, and I realized that I was only there because I put myself there. Mm. Now in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. Not to get too personal, but
right.
But you know, I've been in like I was with a girl for an extended period of time, and I would play Third Strike on Fridays and Saturday nights, and we would go out on Sunday nights with our friends. Mm. Not because like. Just because it just happened to work out that way. Mm. And she would never give me any problems because she knew that it was important to me, even though this was like years before Street Fighter 4 came out. But she knew, I don't know, she knew it was important, therefore, if it was important to me, she's not going to give me any problems. Relationships that I've had since then have been basically like pretty similar, where like, they would be supportive either because they know, hey, well, this is basically what I'm doing, like, for real on a high level, but also because it's important and maybe they're into it in a small way as well. So the reason that it's funny to me is just because, like, I can't imagine putting up with somebody who was going to give me problems for doing what I wanted to do, whether it was playing Street Fighter or, like, being the best at like bass fishing or something like that.
I got the fishing rod for the DC for that game.
So
yeah,
right.
I got it. Yeah.
So there you go. So it's like when I see significant others giving their people, giving their significant others problems or static about you know what they're doing, whether it's Street Fighter or some other form of hobby that is not like.
Detrimental
to exactly.
health.
Exactly. Then it's like, don't bother me. Like, don't. It's funny in my head, so I kind of like try to say things or make you think, like, oh, like, why do I put up with this? Because as Mike said, you create your own reality. If she's giving you problems, it's only because you are giving yourself problems.
I see what you're saying.
I was going to say something just for all the YouTube comments, but I don't think it's appropriate.
No, please go ahead.
Nah, it's okay. We can keep going. Yeah, see, you're already looking at me. Because
I'm curious.
No, yeah, gotcha.
I mean, see, you know, you're supposed to be high Jackie Chan, and they think I'm gay Tiger Woods. But you mentioned about previous relationships, and you mentioned a girl, so I'm supposed to say, you know, because Gutex plays Street Fighter and I play Street Fighter, I can tolerate it. You see what I did there? You see what I did there?
The truth finally comes out.
Yeah, you see what I did there?
Well, that's why it works.
Awesome. It's awesome that you just mentioned it because Mike Ross, you know, if you took Gutex to the prom, where would you take him for dinner and where would you take him afterwards?
That is too easy. Like, seriously, I would first take him to Daikokia Ramen in downtown LA or whatever. And afterwards, he's going to love that ramen. He probably wouldn't want to play AE.
This is on the prom night, so.
Yeah. But you know what, since I am a gentleman, I'd have him return home to his parents.
So who's buying the corsage?
Ah, jeez, oh, we don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Alright, awesome, awesome. You are a gentleman.
Would you say it's fair to call you a Marvel 2 for life player or a lifer?
No.
No?
It's not. It would have been fair to call me that, but, you know what? I don't know. I guess because I kind of stopped playing it, you know, in 2008 for Street Fighter 4. I think I'm needed to put one more year in there to say that I live and bleed it, because, you know, that I would have been multitasking it. I mean, I did still enter tournaments, but I didn't really play it. However, would it be, it might be a fair statement to make when I see a Marvel, oh gosh, here's a prime example. This weekend, Shadaloo Showdown.
Yes.
You guys realize I was playing RF in Marvel on the demo setup and it only had six characters in there and I was still in there and I just wanted to body him? Does that mean I'm a Marvel player for life?
I still had that passion
and intensity in me?
I think so.
Using Ruby Heart, Ryu, and Captain America?
Oh my god. If you're playing Marvel 3, it's really just an extension of Marvel 2. So.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Why do you hate Marvel 3 so much?
I never said I hate Marvel 3. I actually said that I love that game and it's the best game ever made.
Shout out to Capcom.
That's right.
Mm.
Especially in Australia when it costs $110.
To buy.
Why does Marvel 3 cost $110 here?
Because all games cost $110 to buy.
Good.
How can something so cheap?
I mean, Marvel 3, I had to play it. I played Marvel 2 so much. Mm. And, you know, it's just so sad to see the game go that I'm just, like, holding on to my fragmented memories through Marvel 3.
That's terrible.
I'm sorry. I know it's depressing.
No.
That's why every time I play Marvel 3, that's why I'm crying.
I'm exactly the same. I am exactly the same.
It would kill you a little inside every time you play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's depressing.
I'm exactly the same with Street Fighter 4 and Super Turbo.
You get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets it.
I hate that game.
Calm down. It's okay. I love Street Fighter 4.
I have to ask this question. So, how was it, Gutex, how was it to work on the Dr. Sub-Zero show? One of the pioneer podcasts.
Working on the Dr. Sub-Zero show was definitely, you know, one of the highlights. It's definitely, I was going to say, one of the highlights of, like, the outside the game work that I've done. You know, Rockefeller was one of my, you know, Urien heroes. Like, I watched his combo videos on YouTube. And was, like, inspired to play Urien, so... And he's just so funny, so... You know, I told Arlith, I was like, hey, we should do, like, a podcast with this dude, because that was, like, right when I was fresh off of... I still had a lot of recording equipment, because I used to record and produce bands back in the day. So, I mean, working on that stuff at the beginning was really fun, because what we were doing was... fresh and different, you know, nobody would, I don't know, they had Alpha as a radio, but, like, I wouldn't even consider that the same thing, because, like, back in the day, podcasts were different, and that was not something that everybody was doing, nor was it something that everybody understood. So, at the beginning, it was really fun, but at some point it got kind of tedious, not because material, not because I didn't enjoy working with the people, but just because the actual production of the whole thing became really tiring for me. So part of the, one of the reasons why it didn't work out. But doing that podcast, producing that, and I mean, I guess I became a small part of the show, even though it was mostly like 80% about, you know, John. But I would like chime in here and there. But that kind of prepared me to do the Dungeon video podcast and then the Street Fighter podcast after that, which then... eventually, you know, I brought on, you know, guys like Mike and Edma and Combo Fiend and dudes like that, which then at some point turned into events, videos, and then finally Cross Counter. So doing the Ask Dr. Sub-Zero show was kind of like the prototype. So, like, I mean, it was a long process. I mean, this was maybe, like, 2007, maybe even 2006, I don't even know. But, I mean, I'd been working on this type of material for, like, a long time. And then once I got the opportunity to do Cross Counter, and we were doing, you know, we were doing video at that time. But it started out, I mean, what we do on Cross Counter is not that different. It's like the spiritual successor to the Dr. Sub-Zero show and the Street Fighter, the Dungeon video and Street Fighter podcast.
So, how many email questions did you actually send into the show?
Zero. All of those questions were 100% real. I wish I could come up with shit like that. But John was a master. Amazing.
Yeah.
I would love to meet him in person.
He's his inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John is ridiculously funny.
Yeah. Your show, and basically after watching Evo, was one of the reasons why we're actually doing this.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, good. Hopefully other people out there were inspired as well.
Mm.
I don't even know where those episodes are anymore. I mean, I'm sure they're out there floating in the
ether. All in my hard drive.
All in the sides.
Good. Maybe we can, like, re-release them or something.
Oh, definitely.
Although I don't even know if anybody would find them funny, because, like, Third Strike is not... Although Third Strike coming out
here, coming
back. Third Strike is not relevant.
Every Third Strike DLC should come with a box set off, you know.
The Sub-Zero show. Or a free download of iTunes.
Well, hey, tell Capcom.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, a lot of those people aren't even around anymore, so it doesn't even matter. But it was funny at the time, I guess, if you listen to the first episode all the way to episode,
like 11. If you know the history of the so-called community, it's still hilarious to this day.
Right, yeah, but none of that stuff is, like... There's no Wikipedia entry for SoCal FFA Third Strike.
So how amazing is that guys like him and me exist, that, you know, all the way across the world, we know what happened in freaking...
That is the power of the interwebs. If it wasn't for the interwebs, we would not be sitting here in this room today.
Nope. It's still, to me, like, I don't even know how to respond to it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's good. I mean, it's definitely... it's a double-edged sword at some point.
Mm. Mm.
But it definitely allows people like us to do what we do, because if it weren't the internet, there's no way that we'd be able to do this. We would have, you know, like, 9-to-5s or something. We'd be doing something totally different.
You do have a 9-to-5. I don't know why you keep saying that. Right?
Well, one that I clock into.
Yeah, it's just not 9-to-5. It's more like 3-to-10 or something, you know? 3-to-11, whatever.
All right. What do you guys think of Shadow Show?
Did you have fun?
The event was amazing. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what I expected, but as soon as I walked in the door, I was so glad that we came.
I'm going to tell you why, okay? Mm. Because Australians, you know, are filled with trolls.
Australia.
Yes. Yeah. Australia. You know, the moment we got off the plane, they said we'd get eaten by koalas and stuff like that. And that, you know, don't feed them or they'll rip your hand off. You know, I believed all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then they said, you know, the venue is, you know, the venue's not that good. You know, it's not what we had hoped for or whatever. Mm. Me and Gutex walk inside the venue and are like, are you guys serious?
Yeah, I mean, we got to the venue pretty late. There was already hundreds of people there.
Yeah.
They set up the stream, the projector.
I was like, this thing is amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That on top of the player list that was there, like the best tournament I've been to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just came fresh from CEO 2011 in Orlando, and that was an amazing production as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, knowing that this was like the second event that, you know, the Shadow Loop guys had done, it's like, well,
yeah,
we know exactly how this
exactly.
Especially with them downplaying.
Yeah, they downplayed so much. They kept trolling, man.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I thought the event was absolutely amazing. I had a great time.
Yeah, again, like I said, I think not only did that not only was the location sick, but having all the international players is something that nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how they managed to pull that off.
I don't even care. Just do it again.
Just do it again.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely raised the bar in terms of the number of big name players that they were able to get to come down, as well as the hospitality factor. So other major tournament organizers have definitely got to step up and take note and see what they can work out in terms of getting in those big name international players.
So you guys feel like you leveled up, have getting the opportunity to play so many Japanese players?
It was like, one of the best experiences I've had. And a lot of people know, well, not a lot, I'm sorry, I'm lying, a couple people know that I've been wanting to have a serious session in Street Fighter for a long time, but I never just had the motivation, you know.
It's different back at home.
Yeah, you know.
Very different.
You get up to go play Street Fighter. I mean, heck, I don't even have AE downloaded yet. I really don't. I know, it's sad. Whatever, and the moment I think about it, I just end up getting too lazy and end up getting distracted with another hobby or something, you know.
Yeah, it's way different being in being at home in LA compared to you know, when we travel.
Mm. Mm. So who impressed you the most? The machine?
Jeez. You know, I really don't know.
I thought it was going to be Tokido and Mago in the finals.
Yeah, same.
That's what we thought.
So to see the machine, Punko, the machine, the Korean People's Champ, just basically run through everybody.
Yeah.
Was awesome.
That was clearly, like the highlight.
I was definitely cheering for him. Yeah. Because, you know, Mike and I ran into Punko at the GameStop National Finals in 2009 in San Francisco.
Right.
And, you know, this was when, I mean, everybody was in a different position, you know. But Punko, I think, really impressed me back then because he had really great execution. He was playing Ryu back then. But he was like, I mean, you know, there were like other people there, like there was like international players there. And, you know, Punko doesn't speak a lot of English, but what he does that stuck out in my mind is that he makes the effort to try to communicate with you and have a good time. And I remember being at Keystone up in NorCal and just taking shots with that dude. I might have some video of that somewhere, but like I remember having a great time with that guy. And even though he was on stage doing his thing versus Daigo and Justin, he was still cool enough to hang out and party with us. I always remembered that. So it was really cool for me to see him, you know, do so well this weekend.
He is the machine. Man got off a 17-hour flight.
And play for 12 hours straight.
That's why we're calling the machine.
Holy shit. I mean, not just Punko, right? Sien did so well.
Sien got top 8.
Yeah, I was really glad to see Sien do well as well. Because when I met him was DreamHack Winter 2009 Sweden.
Episode 34. Episode 34 of the Street Fighter 4 podcast.
Oh, yeah. He came, I mean, they flew him in from Singapore, and he got second. He lost to Ryan Hart, but, I mean, he definitely impressed everybody that was over there. But the problem was that back then, DreamHack didn't really have the exposure in the Street Fighter scene that maybe it does now or would now, because the scene was a lot smaller, so a lot of people that weren't there really didn't get, especially because they didn't stream it. The stream back then wasn't the same as it is now. So a lot of people didn't really know about Sien. So a lot of people this weekend probably were unfamiliar with him. But I saw him run through everybody except Ryan Hart at DreamHack. And on top of that, he was a cool guy, very humble. He speaks English,
definitely. I mean, it's kind of cool, right? I mean, like, we have Korea with a small community and Singapore with a small community, not compared to Japan.
I don't think Singapore's got a small community.
I mean, compared to you guys.
They have a large community. Okay.
We're going to find out.
We'll
find out.
Tomorrow.
Jesus. We'll find out. But what I understand, they have a very large community, but a small tournament community.
You're right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still cool that these guilds can come out and body on Japanese guys, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. Japan's been bullying America and the rest of the world for years now.
Yeah. Almost 20 years.
20 years.
Well, since 98, technically Alpha 3 when Daigo.
Versus
Vias.
Yeah, so good for them.
No, definitely.
Good shit for them.
And it's not just that. I think it's also due to all the technology that we have nowadays, like YouTube. Videos are a hell of a lot easier to access. You know, you don't have to go to alt.sf.by. Of the news groups.
Right, yeah. Information now about the game is way better than it used to be.
And it's a lot more free-flowing. We actually get up to, you know... I mean, this morning we had a look at YouTube and there is already like 100 or 150 Shadowloo Showdown restream videos up before the guys even started cutting any footage. It's an amazingly fast turnaround for everything.
So, Mike, what was your favorite moment of Shadowloo Showdown?
My favorite moment was...
Doesn't have to be in the tournament. It could be before or after.
Watching Punko win.
The guy finals.
Yeah, because it looked like... I don't care what he says. His eyes were watering on that one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
he
like...
He worked hard.
Yeah, he worked really hard. But again, you know, when I see him chugging that Red Bull, is I'm still thinking back to 2009 GameStop. Mm. You know, he and I hung out with Joseph's translator, and I got to talk and, like, really get to know the guy and to know how hard he works. And everybody saw that now, you know, as a player. And to see him on stage in GameStop and lose to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. When you know, like, we know how great of a player he is. Mm-hmm. But then it's like all the internet, you know, these dumb, dumb.
There's so many things wrong with that tournament.
Oh, it's not even that. I mean, a lot of people were saying, why did the Shadaloo guys invite Punko out? He's just a fancy, you know, stylish player. He doesn't know how to play.
Yeah, he's a stylish player that
wins tournaments.
Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. But, he's just a fancy, stylish player that wins tournaments.
Well, no, I mean, this is basically his first international tournament that he's come out to.
Yep.
Besides GameStop. I mean, proper tournament.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was a while. Yeah, the GameStop one was an exhibition, which was very cool. But, you know, it's like he just happened to lose against Daigo, Justin Wong, and Io, right? Mm-hmm. And then the world says, oh, he sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy, Punko, sucks.
Yeah.
Punko this, Punko that. Okay.
That's the truth.
Yeah, exactly, because all those people would have done much better.
Yeah.
You know, flying straight from Korea to San Francisco to play in front of 1,500 people when that's never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing has been on that magnitude, so... Now that he's used to the pressure, he goes and wins a tournament.
Yeah,
hold that.
Yeah,
hold that. Hold that. And you know he gets serious when he takes his belt off.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to whip you. It's about
love
that. So, I mean, speaking of, you know, famous victories, a certain American beat Mago in tournament for the first time ever, right?
So, Gutex, how does it feel? sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, well, actually, that would have been an accurate statement in Canada. That was yours. But we're not gonna talk about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You had him beat. But I don't know. I don't wanna
I fucked up my execution.
Yeah.
I don't know how I should feel about the Mago match right now. I
feel pretty good.
Should I?
Yeah.
I should feel pretty good.
You should, man. You should see the stream blow up, man.
Yeah.
Dude.
Alright, it's another one of the
beating Mago.
Yeah, it's another
one. Tournament.
Yeah. Another one.
Double digits.
Yeah. I place higher than him.
Yeah.
But you know, as people said or whatever, you know. I think this already got compared to Marn beating Daigo, right?
Yeah. Except for you didn't call him free.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I didn't talk trash, but, you know, Mago wanted to run it back in a money match, first to five.
Yeah, but we'll never know what happened.
Yeah, we played that, and nobody's ever going to know what happened, because he requested there not be any evidence of it.
Yeah, so...
So I can't tell you what happened in the run back.
You're going to have to ask Mago what happened. Because he wanted to play Cien and Mike, and requested that the matches not be recorded, even though he requested the matches and we were going to do them in our room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's fine. They weren't recorded.
Yeah, so you have to ask Mago what happened.
But yeah, I won't tell you guys what happened, but I guess, you know, the stream monsters or the forum people that hated on my victory probably wouldn't have been happy at the results.
Definitely.
I mean, to be honest, I don't think anybody was happy with the results.
Yeah, that's the best. You're right.
I don't think. I wasn't happy. You weren't happy. Yep. Mago wasn't happy.
Yep.
Nobody in that room was
Nobody
happy.
Won. That's the best part.
Yeah.
That's
the best
part. Mm. Another hold that.
Yeah.
Brian, what was your favorite part of SS 2K11?
Well, since Mike already said Punko away, I'm now just going to say watching Mike beat. That was definitely the favorite.
Nice.
I mean, you know.
You didn't jump the crowd.
Nah, because, you know, like, that's another interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll tell you one thing. I think you just confirmed that you are the people's champion. Because wherever you go, people always seem to cheer for you. The other thing I was going to say is, last year we ran Shadaloo Showdown, and we had a fairly hype final with Gamer B and Takedo.
Yeah,
Takedo, right? But the sound levels in the hall got nowhere even close to when you beat Margo. Literally, my ears were hurting from, you know, how loud that was in that room.
You know, I appreciate, you know, obviously the support. Like, you know, who wouldn't? I don't know. You call me paranoid. You sleep with a gun under my pillow. But I always wonder, it's like, I got to imagine it's like, you know, maybe it won't last forever.
Yeah.
You know, pretty soon they're going to start hating me. You know, I try to do things every day to make sure people hate me, but it just doesn't seem to work.
Just backfires and they keep loving you.
Yeah, I watch kids going down the street and I throw stuff at them, call them names. You know, tell them that they're not going to be a fireman when they grow up.
Why would you be the patient?
I just try to, but it's just, I don't know, for some reason it's not catching on yet. I got to try harder.
Yeah, try harder. Mm-hmm. To be a troll.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what was going through your mind when you sat down to play Mago?
You know, I told a couple of people. Fortunately, one of my favorite attributes that I feel like I've developed is I'm so over the mentality of, oh gosh, he's Mago, I'm going to lose. He's from Japan. He's the best Fei Long in the world. Yeah. He's God's garden, amazing player. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, like, in an arrogant way either. No. What I mean by that is, like, what's going to happen? You're going to win the match or you're going to lose the match.
Yep.
Everybody's got to go in with a goal. Yep. My goal is to play correctly. I've played every Fei Long in America, you know, well, not everyone, but, you know, in tournaments, and except Enthal. By the way, I've never played him in a tournament, but I haven't lost to the Fei Longs. As long as I can play correctly in my match, then why would I lose? It's that simple, you know? So that's what, you know, I told people around me too. I'm just going to do my thing. I've played Fei Long before. I know it's Mago, but does he know it's me? So let's see what happens.
There's only so much that you can do with a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not easier, but when you're playing a guy like Mago or one of these big name Japanese players, you know that you're gonna, you know, you're playing somebody who's thinking and who's really good. Mm-hmm. So that automatically makes the match,
it makes it a different match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, as opposed to if you're playing somebody who you don't know and who maybe you've heard is, like, really, really good, but you've never played them or something like that. Like, a player who's coming out of nowhere, or that, you know, they can surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we saw that this weekend with Shang Tsung from Sydney playing Tokido.
Yeah, he should have won that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I think that's, I would rather play somebody who I know is really good than somebody who I'm, like, not quite sure
about.
Yeah, especially in, like, just because you know, like, oh, well, Mago's not going to do anything stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like,
wake up Ultra.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, all completely, completely random.
Who's your favorite wrestler and why?
Because, you know, I've picked up on a correlation between Street Fighter players. From the majority of the Street Fighter players are either NBA fans or they're really into wrestling.
That's interesting. My favorite wrestler. Jeez. I've gone through phases. I really loved HBK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Shawn Michaels was the best. I mean, I thought he had the best song.
Mm.
I thought he had the best finisher.
The only guy that can sing his own theme song.
That's so crazy. You know, you told me that not too long ago, and I did not know that. He sang his own song.
I did not know that either.
See?
Yeah, I didn't.
Think what? I'm cute.
I don't know that.
I know I'm sexy.
Got that's him, look. Isn't it?
I'm pretty sure.
Drives. Okay, yeah. I'll just stop. But
sing it, Mike.
Does that not sound like him?
I'm going to research that.
I always thought it was him.
Oh, I think you're lying then. You have no proof. I thought you had proof that you knew it was him.
Yeah.
Well, if we weren't in Australia, we could probably
access the internet.
The biggest troll in Australia is the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you who I hated. I never liked Goldust.
Yeah.
See?
Didn't like Goldust, but I did like Marlena.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, Gutex, we already know your favorite, or do we?
I had different phases as well. I guess when I was a kid, I really liked Ultimate Warrior. I actually like Ultimate Warrior more now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. As a kid, you know, I loved Hogan, too.
Mm.
Had to like Hogan.
I love that.
I like present-day Warrior more than I like
Hogan. Prime Warrior. Well, is he in his prime now?
Yeah, Warrior may be in his prime now.
Right.
But, Let's see, who else? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Of course, you know.
I think he's the greatest bad guy of all time in wrestling.
You know, I want to jump in, and I got to mention this now. You know who I thought was just a great bad guy? I mean, my favorite bad guy, and still, is Vince McMahon.
I don't know
if I can call him. I'm calling him a wrestler. He's in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
He is my hands down favorite. Yeah. That segment where him and Stone Cold Steve Austin were feuding, and it showed him working out, training just to get ready to beat. I hate Austin. I thought that was like the greatest thing ever.
The hospital scene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was so good. Those were very good days. Of wrestling next to, you know, when we were super young, right?
Yeah.
The Hogan and Andre the Giant era. That was the next best phase with the Steve Austin, The Rock, Vince McMahon type stuff.
Yeah.
So are you more like happy or more like terrified when The Rock and Austin are coming back?
Is Steve Austin coming back?
Isn't he back?
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention. I think last I saw, The Rock is back.
Was his speech.
His speech was godlike.
Yeah, his speech. And I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, I can't ever see myself getting back into wrestling until, you know, I don't want to say something that crazy. Never mind.
Go for it.
Nope. Nope. I'm getting my tubes tied tonight.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So, Mike, if you could pick a nickname other than, you know, Mike Ross, what about Street Pussy?
A nickname? Like I said, you know, I mean, never had a nickname in my life. I was never dubbed a nickname. I don't think I ever will get an official nickname. I just have to go by my birth name. That's all. That's it. That's all I can go.
Michelangelo Ross.
You know, I've heard that. I've heard them all. And, you know, I just...
Nothing sticks.
Nothing sticks. And I don't think anything ever can stick.
I don't know. People's Champ seems to be sticking.
Only Mike Ross can stick to Mike Ross.
I like it.
I like it as well.
Thanks for that one.
So should have done video.
So we asked everyone this, but so who's your favorite AV idol?
My favorite what?
Adult video idol.
Oh.
All the amateur adult idols.
Okay. Here's my favorite. My favorite adult video idol is the easiest question of all time. And it's going to be an answer that none of you in a million years could guess, but I think you know who it is, Ryan.
Who?
It's, hold on, why can't I think of the name? Hold on.
Hold on.
Give me a second, guys. The name really slipped my mind. Okay. Yeah, okay, I got it. Anyways. Now, any comments that was on YouTube, I'm definitely going to get backlash for this. But my favorite adult video star is Brian Pumper. All right, now before you're like, what?
I'm just thinking of a 6 foot tall, hairy guy with really long 80s hair.
Let me tell you, no. Let me tell you why Brian Pumper is my favorite, okay? Like, because this dude is like viewed as the most pathetic dude in the world. He's recently started putting out nothing but like YouTube videos. The reality show of a life of a porn star or whatever, and it will show him like really trying to hit on girls in real life, and girls just like saying, "Get away from me, like you're just sick," you know, like he really thinks it's work. Like, now he's not doing this to be funny, like this guy really has a problem and doesn't realize it, you know, like it's just the best. He tries to also be a rapper too, and he made a diss song to Jay-Z. And the song is the most offensive song like I've ever heard. You guys gotta watch his videos, like, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He's an absolute clown. It's the best. And on that note, I will add that I've actually never seen any of his actual work. I've only seen his YouTube videos. And people that hear me say this and know will know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's awesome.
We have never had such a detailed response.
Thank you. That shows, you know, I did my research.
Yeah.
People give, you know, like, that's the most sincere answer.
The thing is, we didn't even give him the questions prehand. It's all on the fly.
Yeah. All right.
What about you, Ryan?
All the amateur.
Okay. Nice PC response. I like it. Yeah.
They're all
stars. They're all good.
All right. So I guess we're going to wrap it up with shout-outs.
First off, an obvious shout-out to Australia, Melbourne, mm-hmm. for taking good care of myself and Gutex. Shadaloo. Sorry, I mean, Gutex. Whole Shadaloo scene, you know, you guys are good people. Mm-hmm. Definitely got to give a shout-out to Cien from Singapore, you know, for being such a super cool dude and, you know, willing to work with myself and Gutex, try to help us get better at this game.
That's right.
Because we have a long, we have a long way to go. Who else? You know, I want to give a shout out to, I guess, the people that still do clap for me when I win. the people that do come up to us and want to, you know, maybe take a picture, have me write my name on something of theirs.
Random objects.
Random objects.
So wait, you've signed a breast, right?
I have.
And you haven't, right? Is that
what? I have not.
Did you sign any when you were here?
No, I have not.
Do you have some for us to sign?
Thank you.
We got plenty of guys. Do they count?
Yeah. But yeah, please continue.
Sorry, I was, you know, you guys just make it so easy for me to just associate Gutex, just go in, but I don't need to put his business out there on blast.
Shout outs to everybody who watches our stuff on the interwebs, but extra special shout outs to everybody who shares it on Facebook and Twitter. That really helps a lot. Shout out to the people out there who are smart enough to understand what it is that we're doing and what we're trying to build.
Mm-hmm. I forgot.
That's a pretty short list.
Do we count? Not really.
I watch, like, religiously.
Yes.
I understand where you guys are coming from. I mean, look, since 2008, I mean, but Gutex, you did things like Bafa and some of the really revolutionary stuff has really, you know, sort of pushed and carried the scene in a lot of different interesting ways. And I think,
like to think so.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's pioneers like Team Spooky, yourself, even Mike doing his MVC2 video recordings back in the day with the player cam.
Yeah, thank you.
Not too many people know about that stuff.
Yeah.
You guys have done some really amazing work, and I think a lot of that actually, if people sit down and actually watch I Got Next, a lot of that comes through, but you know, you just got to look for it.
Yeah, that'll be out pretty soon, full-length version.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait for that.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah. I guess that's going to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
Thank you, guys, and I hope you
come back
had as much fun doing this as we did.
Oh, yeah. Always have fun.
All right, thanks so much.
All right,
thanks.
Later.
This is Boss Logic from Shadaloo.com. You're listening to Don't Be a Scrub podcast. Stay hungry, stay salty. Don't be whipped like muttons.
So once again, I'd like to thank Mike Ross and Gutex for sitting down and doing the interview with us. So to wrap up this episode, unfortunately, this is going to be one of the last episodes. I would like to say thank you to everyone who came down and said hello and who actually recognized both Mutton and my voice. And I didn't actually realize that we had this many listeners. We really appreciate you guys giving us feedback and actually supporting and listening to the show in these past 15 episodes, and we look forward to doing more episodes in the near future. Please bear with us while I figure out my real world problems. I look forward to coming back from Evo and giving you guys an Evo special episode. So as always, stay hungry, stay salty, and thank you for listening.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate life. Some stranger's hand.